Hi, this is Dr. Michael Wald, and welcome once again to Ask the Blood Detective. For those of you that are tuning in for the first time, I've been nicknamed the Blood Detective because I simply do not give up until I find the cause or causes of some pretty chronic health problems. Now, each week, each Wednesday, I give a 10 to 15 minute show topic on what you're interested in. Many of you send me emails, your phone calls, tell me the topics. So today's topic I affectionately have entitled Glutenaholic. That basically is a term that I've coined, which is also the title of my upcoming book, again, Glutenaholic, the Masquerader of Many Diseases and Health Problems. And everyone here listening can get a free copy of my book if they just sign into my mailing list at www.blooddetective.com, or you can email me at info@blooddetective.com. So this show today will probably extend to at least one other show, possibly two shows, two additional shows, depending on how far I get, and is a compilation of many of the questions that I've received about gluten. And I must tell you, what I'll discuss today, you just rarely hear about gluten. So many healthcare providers, respectfully, mimic the same old information about gluten, but there is so much more you need to know about it. Now, this show is so packed with practical knowledge for you that don't worry if I speak a little fast for some of you, because you can get the audio on my blog, on my website. You'll also find the notes for the show there. From now on, I've been asked to provide my notes, so I will do that as well, and it'll be on the blog, and you can take that off and use it and read it and pass it on. So yes, I'm going to review some of the basics of gluten too, but I'm going to expand on how gluten really impacts your health in a way you probably have not heard before. I'll discuss proper testing, different lab tests, and natural solutions besides just eliminating gluten. And elimination, albeit necessary, I'm sure, of course, there's so many other problems caused by gluten over time that are not necessarily known about or paid attention to by traditional gastroenterologists and many of my my colleagues. So let me first define glutenaholic. Glutenaholic is a person that's either addicted to gluten, meaning they just feel terrible without it. You know, just like an alcoholic will feel horrible as they withdraw from alcohol. Or a glutenaholic is a person who consumes just lots of foods containing gluten and suffers the many health consequences. This person, if they withdraw improperly without fixing the underlying damage that gluten has caused, they might even have side effects from the withdrawal, just like someone who eliminates coffee might have headaches, for example. Now, in traditional healthcare and traditional GI medicine, diarrhea is the typical symptom of celiac disease, and many gastroenterologists forget that diarrhea only occurs in about 50% of those with celiac disease, which is a genetically transmitted form of gluten intolerance. There is no cure for it other than lifelong elimination of gluten. But the other 50% of the time, a person has what we call extra intestinal symptoms. That means every other symptom you can possibly imagine, from headaches to eczema to psoriasis, to dry skin, to brain atrophy, to dementia, to coronary artery disease, to osteoporosis and osteopenia and adrenal problems and hyperthyroidism and hypothyroidism, adrenal fatigue, you name it. It can all be caused from gluten. I mean, after all, gluten is a malabsorptive disorder. When the person eats gluten, in some cases, the gluten causes an inflammatory change in the small intestinal lining, and the absorptive cells of the small intestine, known as the microvilli, they are depleted, they are damaged, they are flattened out. The small intestine lining becomes very leaky. Many of you have heard of leaky gut syndrome, but also many of you have mistaken leaky gut syndrome as something independent from anything else. It is not a disease. It is an effect caused by other things like gluten. And gluten, you should know, causes malnutrition and malabsorption. And when you don't absorb nutrition, again, people listening to this show clearly know this, anything can break down anywhere in the body. And that, therein lies the problem, because traditional physicians just do not think much outside of their specialty. So they just don't see all these different problems and all these different areas that gluten can be the cause of. So I've defined glutenaholic for now. I've mentioned that diarrhea is the typical symptom in about 50% most of the time, or another 50%, I should say. It can be any other problem. And gluten, when it's consumed in a sensitive person, may trigger an inflammatory autoimmune reaction. It might trigger a hypo or low immunity problem. And again, by definition, there's always malabsorption, which leads to malnutrition. So I want to just pause here a moment and say, for some of you who want to speak with me personally, you can call my office. You can schedule a 15-minute consultation to do that. There's no charge for that. Or you can send me your questions at info@blooddetective.com, or you can call our office at 914-242-8844. Many of you have actually stopped by the office, which is always great to see you. And I'm at Integrated Medicine of Mount Kisco, where I'm the director of longevity medicine there. That's about a 50-minute ride by car or on the Metro North train. Now, some people have said to me, you know, why do I talk about gluten so much? These are people who apparently don't know anything about gluten. But the reason why I think this is such an important topic, and I have many videos and a lot written on it on my website, but the reason I've brought it up again is because a large percentage of the population either has celiac disease or they have the beginnings of celiac disease. Did you hear me there? A person does not have to be born with celiac disease. A person does not have to be born with a problem dealing with gluten. As the body ages, these problems can show up much later. So it's a mistake that many of my patients make and say, well, I've always eaten it. How could it be the problem then? And I say, because you have always eaten it. That is precisely why. But then there is what's known as non-celiac gluten intolerance. That just means a person has, you know, gluten intolerance, just like they would if they had celiac disease, but it's not genetic and it can be entirely repaired. A person could even introduce gluten again if they wanted to. A person can also have a gluten allergy, which involves what's called a type 1 hypersensitivity immune response, what's called an IgE, and there's a blood test for that. Or a person might just have digestive issues or other health problems when they eat gluten, and it's not an allergy, and it's not non-celiac gluten sensitivity, then what could that be? Well, a person may be hypochlorhydric, meaning they don't produce enough stomach acid to break down this gluten, or they may be low in pancreatic enzymes, or both. Even problems with the intestinal bacteria, probiotics may be an issue. And by the way, just because you take probiotics or stomach acid or enzymes, many of these nutrients available in the stores do not work. If they're not pharmaceutical grade, if they're not top quality, it doesn't matter what they say on the label. I'll tell everyone to go listen to my show on my blog along with other shows. But one of the ones I recently did was called What's in Those Supplements, all about the sham that occurred in several of the big nutrient manufacturers. That's all I'll say about that topic right now. And once again, whether it's gluten allergy or non-celiac gluten intolerance or enzymes or stomach acid or probiotic issues associated with just gluten problems, we always, always, always have malabsorption and therefore malnutrition. We can't absorb nutrients, and depending on whatever organs suffer from the malabsorption of those nutrients, that's how the dis-ease and the disease happens. Some of them I mentioned already, osteopenia, osteoporosis, all kinds of gastrointestinal problems, from gas, bloating, leaky gut syndrome, increased risk of infection, multiple sclerosis, lupus. Some of these conditions I'm mentioning also, like MS or lupus or Hashimoto's thyroiditis or Sjogren's syndrome or scleroderma, there's many other autoimmune conditions. They may not be caused by gluten, but they're definitely worsened by it. And if when a person has a hypoimmune condition or a hyperimmune condition, which is what autoimmune diseases are, they're too much of a good thing, too much immunity, that person is more susceptible to other immune diseases or other problems with the immune system like gluten intolerance. And I think that this is one of the points I think people do not know about gluten, is that gluten intolerance, when it affects an individual, particularly if they're fertile, a fertile individual, it will affect potentially future generations. For example, if zinc is malabsorbed, the problems genetically with zinc malabsorption have been proven to get passed on through several generations. I hope you heard that, because many of you may be suffering from health problems that you didn't cause, but your great-great-grandparents caused them. Bless their hearts. That gets into some deep genetics. But again, it's these future generations that will suffer. They might have fertility issues themselves. You name the malnutrition issue, immune problems. All right. Why is gluten a problem? And what exactly is gluten? So first of all, let me talk about that. Gluten is a generic form of protein in grass plants found in seeds or what are commonly referred to as grains. Gluten's in most grains, by the way, including rice and corn. However, the form of gluten in rice and corn is 100% safe for those with celiac disease and those with gluten intolerance. Now, a person with intolerances, they may have an issue with gluten and corn, but I'm saying the person who has a known gluten intolerance can handle the type of gluten in rice and corn. Now, the specific type of gluten found in wheat and other gluten-containing grains that we'll call bad gluten, which you'll find, again, as I said, in wheat, but it also is in barley, rye, and spelt. It was once thought to be in oats, but the insensitivity, or I should say the sensitivity, that people with celiac disease seem to have towards oats was that oats were produced, and still are, in the same factories as gluten-containing grains, and they would produce gluten dust particles, and you don't have to have a lot of dust particles settling on a non-gluten grain for a person to react to it who has a severe gluten sensitivity or celiac disease. And now, as many of you know, you can get gluten-free oats or oatmeal. So what should you know about gluten proteins? So barley, rye, and wheat consists of two proteins known as gliadin, and glutenin, G-L-U-T-E-N-I-N, glutenin. Now, during the baking process, these different proteins form a stretchy, thick, kind of glue-like substance that provides the very appealing texture and elasticity of bread in various baking goods. Now, gluten allows bread dough to rise by trapping or gluing bubbles that form from the fermentation process of the yeast within the dough itself. Now, the rising dough is airy and it's light, and gluten in other grains does not provide the same bubble-trapping effect due to the absence of many of the gluten proteins. So essentially, the more gluten, the more bubble-trapping between what's called as sheets of gluten that form when water is added to gluten, a grain during food preparation. The higher the water content, the more gluten that's formed from the glutenin proteins. Now, gluten-free breads, therefore, cannot have the same consistency, they don't, as gluten-containing breads. And this basically has to do with those gluten proteins. Now, as I said, there are other forms of gluten that do not contain the proteins, and these foods are tolerated by gluten-sensitive individuals. And I'll discuss those more on my website. Now, how is the older variety of wheat different from modern-day wheat? Well, first of all, the question brings up another question. What do you mean there's an older variety of wheat? Let me explain. Now, modern wheat has been engineered. It's been bred to contain much more gluten than older varieties of wheat, such as spelt and icorn. Now, this change in wheat in modern-day times has produced a far more toxic product, in my opinion, for those who adversely react to wheat and other bad gluten grains. Now, gluten in today's modern society is found in literally thousands, tens of thousands of food products. We all know this. Now, as a result of the demands for foods that contain wheat, wheat has become the second most cultivated crop in the United States, just behind corn and soybeans. And it exceeds over 47 million acres of production way back in 2012, the last statistics that I checked. So clearly it's much higher now. Statistics for wheat, barley, and rye demonstrate that more farms are used for these groups of grains than for any other crop. Not only has gluten become more and more of a problem for human health, it has become a huge environmental hazard as well. That's the topic of another show. Another question that I hear is, how much is too much gluten? But we can't answer that today, so you'll have to tune in next time for our continuation of Glutenaholic. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Dr. Michael Wald, and you can reach me at 914-242-8844. And tune in for the next show, more on Glutenaholic on Ask the Blood Detective.